All right. If you have your Bibles, go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And as you're turning there, I want to tell you, I'd like to start with something funny. So after tucking their three-year-old child Sammy in bed one night, his parents heard sobbing coming from his room. Rushing back in, they found him crying hysterically. He managed to tell them that he had swallowed a penny and he was sure he was going to die. No amount of talking was helping. His father, in an attempt to calm him down, palmed a penny from his pocket and pretended to pull it from Sammy's ear. Sammy was delighted. In a flash, he snatched it again from his father's hand, swallowed it, and cheerfully demanded, "Do it again, Dad." Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. All right. Thankful for what the dads do. We'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to talk about a father's famous last words. A father's famous last words. How many of you know that some of the most important words that are spoken are sometimes, some of the most important words that are spoken are sometimes spoken at the end of somebody's life? And sometimes we don't know exactly the day when somebody's going to go home to be with the Lord. But I remember when my dad was going a certain direction, it seemed like he had improved very quickly. And then that last 4 weeks, things he just started saying, and it was just like words of wisdom, father-son advice. What I didn't realize was 2 weeks after that, things were gonna happen that, you know, mini stroke, and then things just happened and went the way that I wasn't believing for. But I look back and now there was just certain things that were saying that he was saying that it was just like, hey, remember these things. And just the last couple of days he was here, what was interesting was he came around and began to tell me some things. I was going to say I'll be frank about it, but my name's not Frank, my name's Matthew. But I'll be blunt about it. There was a, you know, godly gal, but I was in a relationship where my dad was, he looked at me, he's like, "Are you sure you're supposed to be dating her?" You know, great last thing on, you know, some of the last words in the last couple days, right? I'm like, "Oh, Dad, come on." Well, he was right. And that ended up taking care of itself, thankfully. But I just go back and I remember some of those famous last words that he said and some things that he told me about. It was a good thing when Mom left the room, said a few things about my mom, which was kind of funny. But, you know, I just think about the last words that somebody says. And, you know, I hear the story, you know, you think of Lakewood Church, everybody thinks of Joel Osteen, but you look at John Osteen and what he planted there with Lakewood Church, starting in a feed store with 100 people and stayed with that group of people for the longest amount of time, and then all of a sudden it took off. But one, and he went through some difficult health issues in his last few weeks, but the last words he said before he went home to be with the Lord is, "His mercy endures forever." And one thing that you see with John Osteen, he helped set a course for that church to grow where it did. He planted the seed, and then the next generation took off. The Apostle Paul's last written words to his spiritual son Timothy was to preach the word and to be in season, instant in season and out of season. So the context was be diligent in our walk with God and our calling. And so I want to look at David's last words to Solomon. And Solomon was getting ready to take over the reign of Israel from David. David knows his time is short. He knows that he's been out on the battle. David was a king, ultimately ended up being a king of war, and he's at the age now where his bones are just, if you read about it, he'll just say, "I know it's time to go, my bones, I feel weak in my body, it's time to pass the baton," is what we would say now. And so 1 Chronicles 28, we're going to look at verse 9 through 20, but it starts off recording King David's words to the people of Israel on how important it is to honor and reverence God and to make his house a priority. If I could get something across to you in these 3 weeks, number one, there were two things that I feel like I was supposed to emphasize. Number one, God loves you. Experience His love again. And number two, get excited about the vision that God has for LifePoint. And there was a, I don't know, some of you will remember these two movies back from, they were around 1969, 1970, I believe. I like to watch old westerns with James Garner, where there was two movies. It was Support Your Local Gunfighter and Support Your Local Sheriff. Well, let me encourage and challenge you, support your local church and support your local pastor. Amen. And so David's saying that to the people of Israel, and then he turns to Solomon and says this. We're going to start in verse 9. It says this, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found. But if thou forsake him, he will be cast off thee forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So not only was Solomon chosen to build the temple, David encourages him and says, be strong and do it. In other words, get busy. Amen. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of the service and of the house of the Lord and for the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. So there's some details on how to build the house. And this father is giving his son advice on how to build God's kingdom, how to build God's temple, how it's supposed to operate. There was some great detail here that David gives. In verse 14, he gave of gold by weight of things of gold for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight for all instruments of every kind of service. Even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and for their lamps of gold by the weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof according to the use of every candlestick. See the detail that's given here. I was going to just skip over this, but I think it's good to see the detail. Amen. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread for every table and likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups and for the golden basins. He gave gold by weight for every basin and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. So David is getting all these things in his heart and is communicating that to Solomon. God gave father David the plan, and he passes it on to the next generation, to his son Solomon. And verse 20 says this, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage. See, you only thought Joshua said that. No, David said it too. Be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. How many of you know that it's important to have a heart for the house? There was a lot of words of strength that David imparted to the people of Israel, and specifically Solomon. Now, the reason David didn't move forward in building the temple, we'll talk a little bit about it later, but David ended up being a king who oversaw a lot of wars. And because he oversaw a lot of wars, the prophet Nathan came to him and said, you'll not be the one to build the next kingdom. Because the king that build the temple, it'll have to happen in the next reign, the next king, because it will be a time of peace. And so in God's faithfulness and mercy, he gives him a glimpse of what's going to happen and gives him detailed plans on how the house is supposed to be built. And I'm thankful that there was a vision cast upon this house and this body of believers that's been passed down and the baton was passed to the next generation. That's happened here. You understand that. I remember when I was going through some very difficult times. I think Brother Lonnie was there. It was back in 2012. Pastor Marvin and you came over to my church to hear Marty Blackwelder, I think. And it was, my dad was getting ready to go home and be with the Lord. So he was not there, but I remember we were in that service, and we were worshiping. It was just a good atmosphere that night. I remember we just spent time worshiping, very similar like today. And I remember looking at Pastor Marvin, and I said, thank you for being the example for this church, too. It may have been from a distance, but what I saw here, I took it there. It was the next generation. And sometimes, there's just like Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God brought the increase. And here is a father, David, that's passing on, there were certain things that he was shown that he thought he was going to do, but it was actually passed down to the next generation to do. How many know sometimes we think there's things that we're going to do, but it actually ends up getting passed down to the next generation. That's why we need to have faith, not just for us, but faith for the next generation. And I just want to encourage you. I look at some of the things that my dad, I thought, was going to do in ministry, I ultimately ended up doing. And it's interesting to me because he saw things that he didn't tap into, and for whatever reason, he moved to heaven early. I'm not real happy about that at times, but especially like a morning like today. But I look, it's like I'm fulfilling some of the things that he saw he was going to do. And, you know, God doesn't forget things. And I just want to encourage you and challenge you that a good father wants their kids to go further. And the Heavenly Father wants to see increase on this church. And he wants to see increase in our lives, and he's given us the example. And David gave an example for Solomon to follow, not just in the spiritual aspect, but in the practical aspect, on how to fight, how to be in war, how to handle situations. If you study the history of David, he knew how to take care of business when it came to dealing with other nations. And so I just want to look at this father's example, and he gave some interesting things here in his famous last words. And there's 3 points here, and they don't all begin with the same letter like they did the last 3 weeks, so they might be harder to remember, but that's okay. But the first point that David exhorts Solomon to know and serve God. That seems very simple, but it's very profound, because we live in a generation where people go through the motions when they come to church, but they're not serving God. They come and they pay their due diligence. I'm not talking about Life Point Church, but I'm talking about some people just come and they do their due diligence to look religious when they come to the house of God. But when it comes, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, right? And so we need to press into the things of God more than ever before. I know that there's been people that have been in ministry. You know, I look at people that were my children's directors, pastors, and they've backed away, not that they've backslid, but they've backed away from helping other people. Let me tell you something. Get to pressing into God more than ever before. Why? Life hits. Things happen in life, but don't let that rattle your relationship with God. And that's what David is telling his son Solomon, because life will hit you, and it'll feel like you got run over by a Mack truck. Well, that's not faith, Pastor. Brother Matt, that's not that it happens. Things happen that's beyond our control, and for whatever, and people just like, well, where did I? And we can get so into a mode. Well, where did I open the door to this? And we can get in such a legalistic mindset. Where did we open the door to it? Absolutely, we can open the door to stuff. I get it. At the same time, you live in a fallen world, and we need to quit just putting ourselves under condemnation for things that happen to us that are beyond our control. Right? I think we can get so in the ditch the other way where we're trying to figure, where did I open up this door? Where did I open up that door? That we get under condemnation instead of following a conviction of the Holy Spirit to change. And so we've got to be really careful with that. But I go back and I think about this story, and I think Solomon is sitting there listening, not understanding the magnitude of what David had seen. But David's telling this to Solomon, and he's going back and he's thinking about, when he's talking about the Lord's faithfulness, know and serve God, he's going back and thinking about those times when he was a teenager out in the sheep field, playing his harp to the Lord, spending time in the presence of God, knowing God. And because he was so strong in his relationship with God, when the lion tried to come against the sheepfold, he killed it. When the bear came across, tried to come against the sheepfold, he killed it. When the giant came to him later, he killed the giant. Come on, somebody. He figured that out in the place of spending time in God's presence. When he was playing his harp out in the pasture. Because he had such a close relationship with God that he knew that no matter what came against him, God would be faithful to be with him, because he was conscious of God's presence with him. And under the new covenant, God lives in you. Woo, hallelujah. And so nobody can get closer to you than the Holy Spirit, who comes and lifts up Jesus and who leads us to the Father. Hallelujah. Doesn't get any better than that. And we look at not just those victories, but he had victories over the Philistine army, obviously, the Moabites, the Amalekites, the Ammonites, the Perizzites, the Demonites. David had victory after victory after victory after victory, and it was all because he knew God, and he knew that God would work on his behalf, and he knew that because he spent time in his presence. How many of you know it's important to know God personally and to spend time in his presence? David and Solomon served the same God, but David wanted Solomon to know, hey, God came through me in this situation, this situation, this situation, this situation. And I know Solomon knew those stories but didn't experience them for himself in some of those situations, but God came through every single time. And if he did it for you before, he truly will do it again. It's not just a song. It's a reality that God wants us to experience. Come on, somebody say amen. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You can go online and listen to it, but sometimes we just got to go back and sit at the feet of Jesus and remember his goodness. Remember his goodness and spend time with him. David exhorts Solomon in verse 9 to serve God with a perfect heart and a willing mind. I looked up the word in the Old Testament Hebrew. That word to serve literally means all in. Go all in and serve in God. Don't hold anything back. How many know that if we like to say, I love Jesus, I serve God, but sometimes there's certain compartments or certain rooms that we don't want God to get into. Come on, it's like when you have somebody visit your house, you can come to the living room, the dining room, and you can come into this area and hang out on the porch, but don't come to my bedroom. It's a mess. But we do that with God sometimes. God wants all of us. He wants to be in our house. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And there's certain areas in our life, certain rooms, we don't want to open the door to him because we'll have to make an adjustment. Let me tell you something. You can't hide anything from Almighty God. He's a good, good father, and a good, good father knows things. Come on, there were things I tried to hide from my dad. Believe it or not, I was a good kid, but believe it or not, I did some honorary things. There were things I would try to hide from my dad that he just knew. They just know, right? And that's the same with God. God just knows. And here's the thing. The word perfect in the Hebrew, serving God with a perfect heart, it means being loyal to him. It means being faithful to him. Come on, somebody. A willing mind is being willing to follow God in every arena of your life. Every area. Jesus put it like this in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all my heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and what? And with all thy strength. And what's interesting here is it's the same principle, But the rest of verse 9 says, if thou wilt seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. This father's famous last words ring just as true today as they did thousands of years ago. We need to remember these famous words to serve God faithfully and to love him faithfully. What happened to the church? You look at Revelation. You look at how there was seven messages to seven churches, right? And five of them had some corrections to make. And the church of Ephesus had an issue in verse 4 of Revelation 2. It says, Jesus warned them, said, you're doing all these good things, but there's one thing that you've done wrong. You've left your first love. And it's very easy to go through the motions of life, go through the motions of parenting, go through the motions of ministry. I went through a season of ministry where I was just there and I could do it and the Spirit of God would flow because I was a willing vessel. But there were some things I did because I was just going through the motions and not spending time with God because I was mad at God. Ever got mad at God before? You shouldn't get mad at God. Why? Because God's on your side. But I got mad at God because I shared it a little bit. I didn't share it here. I shared it down in St. Louis or in O'Fallon last week. But I was out of the will of God for a year, almost a year, because God was dealing with me to leave my church and start doing traveling ministry at that point in that season of life. And I told God no because we had just paid off the church and I wanted to enjoy preaching in a paid off church. And the Lord spoke to me on my birthday, November 30th, 2017, said, I need to talk to you about something. I was driving in Springfield. It was my birthday. I don't want to talk to God about something on my birthday of this magnitude. I had just got done eating a full rack of ribs, so I wasn't fasting. And I'm driving, I'm going down, I just came from Shields, I'm looking at guns and ammo. It's a great day on my birthday, and that was when ammo had a shortage, and I'm coming out of there with these two huge bags of ammo. Because you could not find 38 special ammo, and I found a bunch of it, and there was no limit, and I just carrying all this stuff. The weight of the world was on my arms. I'm having a good day, and I'm eating ribs. I'm getting ready to go to the go-kart track and spin my mom out. I literally did spin her out on the go-kart track that day. She kept cutting me off. And so when the guy wasn't looking, I just punted her. And the guy turned around and thought she was just, you know, she just didn't know what she was doing. I did it right. But I'm having a good day, and it's like God's dealing with me about making a transition. And it's like, I told God, I don't want to hear it, and I don't want to talk about it. Well, you know, if you tell him that, Holy Spirit's a gentleman, right? He didn't talk to me for a while, but things weren't working like clockwork like they were supposed to. And so I was going through the motions for a while, but there came a point where God spoke to me again several months later, and I said, I still don't want to deal with this, but I started being more open. And God's faithful. But we've got to know him and to serve him faithfully. When God speaks, do it. Whatever he says, do it. When it doesn't make sense, do it. Go fill the pots with water. That doesn't make sense. They needed wine, not water. But they took what they had, and Jesus turned the water into wine. Amen. Do what he says to do. He's faithful. Amen. So knowing serve God faithfully. Number two, we need to build the Lord's house. Say, build the Lord's house. Verse 10 says this in our text, take heed now. In other words, get on it. David goes on to say that the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Guess what? You're a part of Life Point Church, so guess what that means? You've been chosen. You've been chosen to be a part of what God is doing at Life Point. You're in the right place at the right time. I was talking to a pastor this week, and he was just talking about it just seems so weak, so weak, so weak. What people don't understand is there is an Old Testament principle with Moses. If you'll remember when they were winning the battle, they were holding his arms up. When they let him down, the battle was being lost. There's a principle with that in the local church. If you'll lift up your pastor and you come in and you do what you're called to do, that's figuratively speaking lifting up the arms of your pastors. And that's part of building the house. And David had a plan to build a temple to honor the presence of the Lord. But what happened? He ended up being a king of war, and it wasn't a time of peace, so it wasn't a good time to build the temple. And so the prophet Nathan says in 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 4, "You'll not build me a house to dwell in." So I go back through and I look at things in my life where my dad personally made it easier for things to happen because he made a way and gave me some direction. The Heavenly Father has given us some direction. And I go back and I look at, Proverbs talks about don't forget the ancient landmarks that were set by your forefathers. There's a spiritual principle to that. There's a church that was planted in 2008. Don't forget the foundation of the church that was planted here. This is to be a place where a beacon of light goes out through Mattoon when the message of faith goes forth. Because let me tell you something, as the world is getting darker, people need a place to run to. And they don't need to just hear little mini sermonettes. They need to hear the Word of God preached without compromise. And they need a place where the Holy Spirit can move freely in the church services. Do you realize what happened this morning when we were praying for people? Many, quote, Spirit-filled churches would not allow that because we've got to stick to our, there's a program out there called, I forget what it's called, but you can time your service down to the second. It's called Planning Center. And you plan your services down to the T. I mean, I was helping a church several weeks ago, and they had it down. They had their services down to the second. That's not how it should be. We should be in a place where we take our time and minister to the needs of the people. When this church was started and when it was founded on a foundation that we're going to go after the down and out. We're going to go after the broken and the hurting. And your pastor today, Pastors Matt and Kat, have a heart for the broken, a heart for the hurting, a heart for the sick and afflicted. And it's time to build the house together. And sometimes you don't realize it when Pastor Matt's preaching, but there's nuggets of vision that comes out when he's preaching. And there's a certain theme that you'll hear when he preaches every time. And it's about get busy about the Lord's work. You'll hear different things come out. There's a theme that God has called him to do that's a part of this church's DNA, and it's weaved into its fabric. Part of its faith. Part of it's going after the down. Part of it's winning the lost. Part of it's being a place where creating an atmosphere where the presence of God can touch and transform lives. Hallelujah. To lead people to Jesus. David gives specific, I won't go through them again, but where the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be. The measurements, the altar, down to every detail. God wants us to have a heart for his house. Amen. And we were just talking about this before church. I actually had this in my notes to bring it out, and then we talked about it. God desires that this is a church of excellence. This is a church where if we'll get together and do what God, and we come excited to come back to church, because sometimes we go through things and it's like, oh, we're just barely dragging into church Sunday morning. We've all been there. Let me encourage and challenge you, when you get up, don't just say, oh, we got to go back to church, and we're going to keep track of the time. Because if he goes past 11:15, and by the way, we're already 10 minutes past that. But if he goes past 11:15, I'm not going to be happy. We're going to have a little talk with the pastor because he's just rambling on and on. No, you may need to just sit there and receive what God is saying. And if he keeps going on a point, there might be something you need to get down in your heart. When it comes to the ministry of helps, we need to know and remember who we represent. We represent Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who gave himself up for us willingly, died on a cross for our sins, shed his blood, rose again on the third day victorious, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And he draws us to Almighty God the Father, and that is who we represent. Hallelujah. And that's the thing we got to remember. When guests come in, they want to see some joy, right? Because you know your God. You've taken time to know him, and you have a heart for the house. And, you know, we need to get excited about fixing little things. Like, you know how a dad will fix something or, you know, something fell apart? And dads take great pride putting it back together. And every single time, for whatever reason, after a nail goes in, shakes that thing, it's like, yeah, that's not going anywhere. Right? Anytime we build something, put something back together, yeah, that ain't going anywhere. Do you realize that's the attitude we should have about LifePoint Church? When we build it together, and it's like, yeah, this thing is tight. This foundation is tight. I'm not talking about the building. I am talking about the building, but I'm talking spiritually. We're tight, right? And we say, that's not going anywhere. Just like a father takes great pride in putting this together, that ain't going anywhere. LifePoint Church ain't going anywhere. There are so many churches that I see traveling with what I do in church insurance where it's just like they've fallen apart like a $2 suitcase, like I talked about last week. After COVID and everything else, your pastor and this group of people stood strong. Not everybody stood strong. Not everybody survived it as a church. Come on, somebody. Don't just rely on your pastors. Let's do this thing together. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're not going anywhere. Again, like, support your local church, support your local pastor. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go home this afternoon and watch Support Your Local Sheriff. I'm sure you can get it off. You can get it somewhere, okay? It was funny. Goofy. The last thing that he said was, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua declared the same thing. He heard that wisdom. And so that wisdom was passed down from generation to generation. Joshua told the people of it when they went to get the walls of Jericho coming down, be strong and of a good courage. I don't know how many times we heard Pastor Marvin say it here. I don't know how many times I heard Pastor Marvin preach it at Raymond when he was the dean. Be strong and of a good courage. That was a theme. You know, there's some favorite scriptures that he goes to, right? And this was one of them. That was a message that was passed down from generation. That's a message that was passed down from him to Pastor Matt. That's a message that's been passed down from Joshua to David to Jesus to Paul. Paul talked about never quit. That's been passed down to us today. A good earthly father will encourage his children to be strong in the face of adversity. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. At the end of the letter to the church at Ephesus. What will a good dad do? He'll keep building you up. When a son is out there on the baseball field, the son is the best player out there, whether he is or not. I am not, believe it or not, looking at this body, you'd be surprised, but I'm not the most athletic. But I remember when I was in fourth grade, that was the only year I did sports, and I went out for bitty basketball, and they would never pass me the ball because under pressure I couldn't shoot. But my dad would say, you're the best one out there. And then I finally got where I was supposed to be, music stuff. People call me the band geek, everything else, but I'll tell you what, it worked out pretty well. How thankful are you that we serve a good Heavenly Father who would never leave us nor forsake us? He's always with us. If he never leaves us nor forsakes us, how could we not be strong in thinking about that? If we would just think about that Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the one who created the sun, moon, and the stars, the gorgeous sunrises and the sunsets that we see, who orchestrated the plan of redemption for us, said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Does it get any better than that? And that he lives in us. So everything that we do, do it unto God. Paul said that to the church of Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. David was the father of that nation per se, and the father of Solomon, encouraging the nation, the Levites, the priests, his own son, that in everything that we do, everything that you do in life, when you go to the store, be strong. You got to be strong when you go to Walmart. I decided I was going to go to Meijer and Champagne yesterday. I had to be strong in the Lord. Because people running into you with their carts, and I had to receive healing in my back. People running in. No, it wasn't that bad. But it's just, I've been to this. I literally, not yesterday, but a time or two, it was the time before I went to Meijer, literally got run into the back with a cart. You got to be strong in the Lord when you go to Meijer, when you go to Walmart's. I'll tell you what, but be ready, be instant in season and out of season. Because there's a world around us that's going to a lost and dying hell, and if they don't know Jesus, they're living a life of misery. There's a lot of hurt, a lot of confusion in this world. Come on, somebody. Be strong and courageous. Doesn't mean if you've gone through some stuff, you were out of the will of God. Through it all, the Heavenly Father's been faithful. Be strong. If life knocked you off your horse, get back up and ride again. You ever just felt like you were just riding through life and somebody knocked you off the high horse? But God will bring you back through. He'll bring you back up. You better come up and play the keys or I'm going to ramble. David was not perfect, but he was a good father. Do you realize, and I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago, but I'll share it again. I've been preaching several places, so it's like I don't know where I forget where I share things. I just know I've shared it recently. So if I share this, act like you've never heard it before, and I'll share it one more time. And this is my first of five closings. But do you realize when the crew went to the moon for the first time, everybody thinks that they had a straight shot. Do you realize they had to make a course correction about every 5 minutes? And when they actually landed on the moon, there was a certain area that they had to land in. And it was a pretty wide area. And they landed barely on the edge of where they were supposed to land. What am I saying this morning? Some of us have not done life perfectly. Some of us heard from God like I did and disobeyed. Some of us went through some things that we didn't expect and it threw us off. And we unfortunately were shaken. But you can make a decision today to be strong and of a good courage. And God will pick you up right where you're at and get you back on course. Because we should do everything we know to do to obey God, but every person in here has missed it. Because if we were perfect, we wouldn't need a Savior. And Jesus came to save us from our misery. So David, we know, wasn't perfect. He was a father that wasn't perfect, but it did not mean that his advice was worthless. David won some battles, but he wasn't disciplined at times. So when he messed up with Bathsheba, he hid it for a couple of years. A lot of people don't think about it. He hid that. He hid the sin. And then the prophet Nathan called him out. So not only did he mess up, he tried to hide it. So then after he repents, he writes Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Of course, it's Old Testament, but you understand the theme. "Cast me not away." His heart changed back to God, and God got him back on track and passed the baton to the next generation. What were this father's famous last words? "Be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God will be with thee." What David communicated to Solomon is what the Heavenly Father is communicating to us today. That no matter what you've done in life, you could make a decision this morning to get back on track, and you could be strong and of a good courage. Let's get to know God again. Let's get excited about our relationship with Him again. Let's have a heart for this house. Because I'll tell you what. People need you. Turn to your neighbor and say, people need you. There was a song back in the early 80s, before even my time, that went, people need the Lord. Well, how do they get to the Lord? Well, people need us. And they get to us, one of the ways is through this church. And just like David had a heart for the house, let's have a heart for the house. He said, well, I already have a heart for the house. I'm here on a Sunday morning. I got here. Get that renewed energy again. I know when I pastored, there was a season where I was just, after going through some stuff, I was just showing up. I had to get my fire back. All of us need to get our fire back every now and then. All of us, I don't know about you, I like to make fires. And I remember making a big fire. All I had was some dry brush in the fall. I just lit, all you need sometimes is a little spark. I kid you not, I live in the country, so I got away with it. The flames were 30 feet in the air. And I'm not exaggerating like a dad would, telling a story. And the guy that was plowing the field next door comes running over, thinking he's going to have to plow the field. But I, in my setting a big fire, some of us just need a little spark. And once you get the spark, catch on fire again, and you'll see this place exploding with people, exploding with salvation and miracles. Amen. Sometimes all you need was a little spark. All I had was just one little flame. I did not add fuel or anything to it, believe it or not. And then be strong and courageous. These are a father's famous last words.